The guys have whipped up another one. This one's off the chain. It's Billy and Devo talk sports and manliness.
Welcome back after 9 long months to the BDSM show. That's Billy and Devo talk sports and manliness. As always, I'm Billy.
I'm Devo, and welcome back if you're still getting the alert and you're thinking, oh, I think my Google app's broken because a BDSM show just popped up on my subscription thing. No, not broken. This is real time. We had a hiatus.
We did. You know, a long one.
You would think that it would be easy to carve out, you know, 2 hours on a weeknight.
Right.
It's just not anymore. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, between the jobs and the kids and the marriages and all the other things that fill in between those, the podcast gets pushed around, and next thing you know, somebody could have had a baby in the amount of time it took us to make our next episode.
Right. And we've had just recently a couple people, different people ask me, you know, hey, why don't you guys make any more podcasts? What happened?
Yep. I've had a few questions myself.
Life.
Yep.
You know, Stacy was asking me, and I was like, yo, we took a needed break at the time last year, got back together in May, and we were gonna keep going at it, and we just kinda
It's not
didn't.
You guys. It's us.
Yeah. It's not your fault. It's our fault.
You deserve
it's totally
love.
Totally on us.
And I couldn't
Daddy
give it to
and
you.
Daddy's fault. Yeah, and then you know, we had JX's bachelor party the other week, and
yep.
You know, I met
renewed
one of his friends.
Interest.
And he's like, oh, I met his friend Corey. He's like, hey man, I listen to the podcast. You guys are good. I'm like, thanks.
Chris,
we haven't recorded
Chris,
in a while. But
Chris said the same thing. He's like, man, he's like, you guys should do something. And I was like, man, now I feel lazy.
Yeah, now I feel like we're letting people down.
Right. I mean, at least three.
Right.
Three people.
It was one thing when we just weren't getting together and couldn't make the time sync up. And now we've got people saying, hey, man, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
So here we are. I think we're going to take it slow. Maybe adapt things instead of being a weekly thing. You know, maybe we can. I think it'd be easier to carve out like a day a month.
Uh huh.
You know, at least start there. We'll start with like a monthly thing, and if we have time to maybe do it twice a month, then so be it. But
hold on, Jen, what are you screaming about?
Oh my God, there's a fire!
You have a fire?
Yes.
All right, I'll be right back. Jen put the pizza in upside down and it caught on fire.
Oh my God.
Hold on, I'll be right back.
Okay.
Alright, I'm back. So,
right.
Remember we were talking about how sometimes life gets in the way of making a podcast?
Right.
Well,
right.
We bought this pizza, and the top of the pizza looks very similar to the bottom of the pizza.
Okay.
And being frozen, you can't, you know, it's, if you're not really, like, studying the surface of
your
pizza, you maybe could put it in upside down.
Okay.
So then what happens is you cook it right on the rack because you want the crispy pizza, right? I mean, who doesn't cook it right on the rack, right?
Right.
But if you put it in upside down on the rack, then the cheese melts and drips down onto the coils.
Yes.
And it ruins your pizza. That's probably the worst part, is ruining your pizza. The second worst part is going to be cleaning the oven out.
Right.
So there was a small fire in the oven that has been dealt with.
Fantastic.
Front door and back door are wide open to let all the smoke out. The smoke detectors didn't go off, so I don't think it burned that bad. Either that or I need new smoke detectors.
I was going to say, that or you're all fucked if the house catches on fire.
The dog will make it out and the rest of us will just be snoozing away.
Right? Roper's going nuts. Time to get the fuck out. You're all on your own.
So, tonight, Jen will not be having pizza. She is making a BLT.
Oh, well, that's not so bad either. I mean, it's not a pizza, but...
She pre-made the bacon earlier, so it's pretty easy... pretty easy fix. And sounds delicious. I'd never been a BLT fan, but then Jen gave me one time. Not like a Checkers one, but like a Jen one.
Right.
And she does all of her shit like gourmet, and it was good.
Nice.
You know, thick.
Yeah, I'm not a lettuce tomato guy, but I am down for fucking bacon.
Yeah, it was really good. I think she toasted the bread a little bit. It was good.
Nice.
So, we're back, and we're recording.
Again.
But, yep, for like the third time tonight. You guys didn't even hear the first one.
Right.
So, we were talking about Jason's wedding, Jason's bachelor party.
Yes, and how we were disappointing people, and that's how it came back up. And we were like, hey,
we did.
Maybe we should do something.
That was a fun party.
Yeah.
I heard we had a really good time.
I think the true sign of success is nobody was... really that hungover Sunday.
No, I was good to go Sunday.
You know, like I was kind of like in that between stage, like am I still buzzed or am I slightly hungover, but I never got sick.
I took
that power nap after everybody left while Archie was watching. So I don't remember what he was watching.
Yep.
But took a brief power nap, not even like maybe 10, 15 minutes, and I woke up, I was good to go. I'm like, all right, I'm going to drive home. I'm a little bit off, but that's okay.
the indoor shuffleboard was great.
Yeah, it was pretty neat. I think you guys are still kind of gay for routinely playing shuffleboard, but it was fun to be gay for a day.
It was, that was great. The dinner, I don't remember, honestly. I think we just had a pretzel.
Yeah, I think you had a pretzel, I had a pretzel, then we split another pretzel, something like
that.
Did we?
Jesus Christ.
And then each one came with two pretzels, I think. And I ate like a pretzel and a half.
And then two people got tattoos. Kevin got a tattoo.
Yes.
And Jason got a tattoo.
And Jason got a tattoo.
Yeah.
Although I think Kevin got his earlier in the day, didn't he?
He did. He got his early.
Yeah.
Yep. Let's see here. I do remember taking a Honda Pilot Uber home, but I don't remember like much after Honda Pilot. You know what I mean? Like getting here. Did we drink when we got back, or did we just go to bed? Or
I think we just kind of chilled when we got back.
I don't think
there was any extra drinking. I know I smashed a couple of waters before bed, and I think that's what helped me not really be. Like hungover the next day.
Hangover. Yeah.
Because I even in my inebriated state, had the presence of mind to grab a couple aspirin and drink a couple bottles of water.
I woke up
feeling not quite refreshed, but refreshed-ish.
I was totally impressed with Papa Yekli. That guy likes to get after it.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a good time.
Yeah.
Good time. Actually, I think him and I are best friends now. Something like that.
BFFs, yeah, for sure. And I don't remember when we lost him. Like, was it at dinner time when we lost him? He went back to his hotel?
As I remember, yeah, he left after we finished dinner.
Because right after dinner, Jason went to the tattoo parlor, and then me and you went to the Fufu drink bar.
Yes. That's probably the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
Would have gotten us a frozen cocktail.
Well, like the whole bar is like, hold on, Jen's calling me again. What's up, Jen? What's not working? It was working a second ago, right? I'm sorry that's happening. Okay. And it's one of those drink bars that's like all icy machines, but with booze poured in them.
Right.
And they didn't have something. They didn't have like strawberry daiquiri or pina colada, because I really wanted a Miami Vice, because it's like that's your vacation drink.
Right.
So we had some orange thing, I think. Was it orange?
I don't remember.
And then the lady crammed more alcohol on top of it. It was probably a bad idea.
Well, we had a good time. We survived. Nobody yacked.
I did.
I'm not sure. I don't think anybody got pregnant.
Nope. Nobody got arrested.
That's good.
All my pets are still here. Yep.
Right. Jason didn't get any face tattoos.
no. He nobody still lost had all any his teeth. Yep.
So.
Yeah. Nobody got any tickets, like parking tickets. It worked out pretty good. Hold on 1 second.
No mystery Asian men.
Hold on 1 second, Jay. Or Billy. What do you need? All right, sorry about that. Life keeps getting in the way. Had to get the doors closed. The dog brought a dead lizard in here. The streaming thing on the Apple TV 2 wasn't working. So anyway, I'm back.
Anyway.
We were talking about Jason Yuckley's a bridal shower, bachelor party, groom shower. So
sure.
It went really well. We drank a lot of beer. Drank a lot of shots. Yeah. I still have some Jameson left over.
Nice.
The Jaeger got all drank. And I got a new collection of like little single beers, onesies and twosies. So I got a nice little sampler in my fridge.
Nice.
Backyard wasn't too bad to clean up. Nothing got burned. Well, I mean, a few things got burned, but nothing that
mostly
belonged.
Solo cups.
Yeah, solo cups and somebody's arm.
Yeah. Jen asked me the day after. She's like, "What is with the burn holes in the solo cups?" I was like, "I don't remember that."
Yeah. I don't remember a lot of it. I mean, see
I
the
think
pictures.
Someone broke out the torch.
Probably. I mean, probably.
I don't know.
The torch is fun.
It's a fair bet.
Yeah.
It's a fair bet.
So, and he's getting married in 3 weeks.
Oh, like 3 weeks? Yeah.
Yep. I managed to talk my boss into letting me get out early on Friday because it was going to be a stretch for me to make it to the rehearsal.
Right.
But I'll be getting off at 3, so hopefully I can be leaving my house at like 3:15. Get up there by like 4:15, get checked into the hotel real quick, change my clothes, haul ass over to the rehearsal at 5.
Nice.
And up there, I mean, I shouldn't get much of a rush hour. The rush hour is way down south, so.
Right.
Have you guys figured out what time you're leaving Friday?
We have to figure out just if we're bringing the kids to Naples or what. We don't know
exactly.
We don't have it hammered out yet, specifically, but it's going to be a nice long day of travel.
Oh, yeah. Because so. If you have to go to Naples, dude, that's an hour. Is that an hour south of you guys?
Yeah, it's an hour south of us. So then it'd be an hour back up to get just back to Northport. And then it's like
2 more hours.
Two and a half hours from there.
I looked it up today on Google, and from my house to the hotel, it's 1 hour and 5 minutes.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's a trek. A little bit.
It is. You know, and for you guys, it might be faster to come up 275 through St. Pete
maybe.
And then go up the expressway.
We'll see, because what we'll have to inevitably deal with if we do that is the bridge that's name is escaping me at the moment.
The Skyway?
No, not the Skyway. Between St. Pete and Tampa. I'm drawing a complete
Howard Franklin.
Blank. Yes, there we go. Howard Franklin.
But if you're up here, if you get to Tampa by like 2, 3 o'clock, you should be good.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Because we'll be coming, at that point, essentially, we'll be coming from Naples, so.
Yep.
It's got the potential for disaster. We'll see what time it is when we get up that way and
Your kids will have school on Friday, though, right?
No, actually, I think that Friday they're closed. Oh, that's spring break week for us.
Nice. Oh, that's right. That's why I couldn't get off. Because the only other guy with kids took the whole week off.
Right. So Wednesday we're going to be in Orlando. We're going to Legoland during the day. We're going to Orlando that night. Thursday we're going to spend the day in Orlando before driving home. And then Friday we'll be going either down to Naples to drop the kids off or dropping the kids off somewhere in Northport. I'm not sure.
And you guys
but, you know, that's why we got the hotel Friday night, because I was like, I'm not making that drive on Saturday. I'm not driving all the way down to Naples to drop the kids off and then driving all the way back up mm-hmm. to fucking Brooksville all in one day and try to get there by the time the wedding starts.
And plus, I think the hotel's only like $100 a night.
Yeah. It's
like $103 or something.
Pretty good
like
deal.
That. Yeah.
I think for the upgraded suite that we got, it was like $130 a night, something like that.
I think we paid like $103 or $110 or something like that.
Yeah, because the actual rate was like $110, and then they throw in all the fucking fees and all that shit.
Yeah, yeah. And then they have a pool up there. I'm going to bring my little soft-sided cooler, because Saturday nice. Morning I'm sip beers by the pool until it's time to get ready.
Absolutely.
So that'll be still got to go pay for the rest of my suit. That son of a bitch was expensive. So I'm going to probably, you know what, I'll probably wear the suit down to the pool.
Might as well get your money's worth.
Right, exactly. Yep.
Wear take it a bunch in the pool.
After the wedding, it's not out of the question.
Nice.
Eric Chambers is getting married.
Yeah.
His bachelor dinner is this week, this Saturday, in Ybor City.
Right.
I'm a little bit worried because there's like 20 dudes going to that one.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And he likes a drink. He likes a party.
Nice.
And then his wedding is the week after up in the Panhandle. So
gotcha.
that's going to be, we're not going to do the two night deal since I'm not in the wedding. The official, I'm air quoting, official hotel is like still like 17 minutes away from the wedding site. And I don't think there's Uber up there, so I'm going to have to be very careful. I'll have to really stick with the whole DD deal. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
So we're going to drop the kids off. Our girlfriend Andrea is going to watch the kids for that wedding.
Nice.
So we're going to drop them off at like 9 a.m. And then we're going to leave and try and make it up by like 12 or, you know, 1 up right. to the hotel. And then check in. The wedding's at 5, but luckily for this one, it's kind of like, it's a beach wedding. So he said, you know, just no shorts. No, you know, he didn't say no denim, but I'm pretty sure he meant no denim. So that'll be nice. You know, a nice khakis sure. and you know, button down kind of wedding.
Relaxed vibe.
Yeah. Yep. No beach deal. So that'll be a fun one. I think they're expecting like 200 people.
Wow.
So then we're going to wake up in the morning. We will eat our Best Western Continental breakfast that is included with our overnight stay. And then we will haul ass back down to Tampa to pick up our kids. Hopefully we can pick them up by like 12 or 1 if we leave the Panhandle by like 8 or 9.
Yeah, that'll be about a stretch there.
Yep, and I'm positive Jen will be asleep before we even hit like State Road 27 or whatever it is that goes through there.
Guaranteed.
And then just be flying solo.
Sure.
Going home. Yep.
Just you and your caffeine.
Yeah, that's right. The Bang. Have you had one of those yet?
I have not.
It has double the caffeine of Monster.
Yikes.
It literally has a warning label on the side that says you must be 18 to consume.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, they're a bad idea. I bought one not realizing that it was double the caffeine of a Monster, and I drank like half of it, and I was like, what the fuck is going on?
I could like and start shaking.
I was like, why is my face itchy? Yeah.
Yep. Start trembling. Why the fuck do I have the shakes all of a sudden?
I was full on riding the dragon. So
nice.
I probably won't do. I'll probably just get. I'd rather just drink two Monsters. Like that would be more reasonable for me.
Right.
Let's see what else. Oh, I started Ubering. Started driving for Uber. Make some extra money.
Right.
It's fun. I really enjoy it. I average like $20 an hour. I usually do like 4 hours. You know, I'll do like Tuesdays and Thursdays from like 8 to midnight.
Yeah.
I don't like going past midnight because then you have to deal with all the drunken jerk-offs.
Yeah, the weirdos and shit like that.
Yeah, I don't mind like the dinner drunks and like the happy hour drunks. They're totally fine. Like, you know, right. The guy who's out of town and he goes to, you know, Ulele and has a few too many cocktails, he's fine.
Sure.
It's, you know, it's Chad and Brad and Skylar coming home from Soho that I'm not really impressed with.
I like that, Skylar.
Skylar. Bro. Fucking Drake. Yeah.
Taylor is a dude's name.
And they're like, listen. Bro, can you stop at Wawa? And I'm like, dude, Wawa's like 10 miles away. That's not even close right to your dorm, numbnuts.
Stupid.
So, yeah. So I started doing that for extra money. So we'll probably have like a little segment of each episode where I can recant interesting riders. Like this one time last week, to pick these people up from Ybor City. It wasn't that late. It was like 9:30, right? And okay. It was two chicks and a dude. And I think the third chick was a third wheel because both the dude and the other chick seemed ultra annoyed with how drunk she was. And she was just talking gibberish. She I was singing a song and she said the word mermaid and narwhal in her song. And I was like, that can't be a real song. I was like, did she say narwhal? And he's like, bro, don't even. And I'm like, oh, all right.
Nice.
Then she's like, do you have an auxiliary cable? And I was like, no. Nope. Sure don't.
Pass.
Yep. Don't have that. You're fantastic. Listening to my music, lady. So, and the nice thing about my new Durango is, A, it keeps me honest and keeping it clean, right? Keeping it running right. And then, right. B, it seats 7, so I qualify for Uber XL, so I get both calls.
Nice.
So, yeah, it works out pretty good. You know, and it's like, if I can pull down, like, $70 or even $50, you know, let's go on the short side, which I'm almost always beat 50. I'm usually in the 60 range, but after fuel, it's about 50. Right. If I do that 2 nights a week, that's an extra $400 a month.
Sure.
And since our commuting is, you know, like, we don't commute that much. Jen only commutes, like, 4 miles each way. We're not, like, piling miles on the car, so it works out pretty good. For sure. Some extra scratch. I mean, I feel bad for people doing it full-time, because that would be miserable. My ass hurts after 4 hours. I couldn't imagine grinding out, you know, 8 to 12 hours in a day, but whatever. God bless them.
Like,
for
it's supposed to be, like, a secondary source of income. Yeah, it should
be prime. You know, like those idiots who are clamoring for $15 an hour at McDonald's because they can't live off of it. Like, you're not right. supposed to live off of that, so.
Right.
Let's see. We got Uber. Oh, the kids are getting older. I mean, but the last time you guys checked in, I had a 4-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 6-year-old, and now I got a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old.
Yeah, I had a 5 and a 3, and I've got a 6 and a 4.
I mean, they never stop.
Bub just lost his first 2 teeth the last couple of weeks, so
it's big time, bro.
That going?
Yep. And now they're just gonna start just piling out of there. Finn's right. got another one loose.
Nice.
Archer starts VPK in August.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, they're growing.
Ashlyn's been sitting with the older kids for, let's say, a month or two now. Because they were like, yeah, she's smarter than the other dumb 3-year-olds. So we're going to start learning her with the VPK kids.
Nice. Archer can spell his name. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Nice.
He surprised me with that one. Jen and him had been working on it. And he spelled it. He knows his last name's Ingadella.
Nice. That's the big one.
Man, good on you.
Nailed it.
Yep.
Yeah, Ashlyn, we're starting to read with her, so she's starting to, like, sound out words and piece them together. So we got these little short books that she can read, you know, 3-4-letter words, and she'll sound out map 6 times in the same book.
Yep. It works, dude.
That's pretty great.
I got a new dog. Did I have a new dog last time?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I got a an Australian German Shepherd.
Right.
I don't want to say her name too loud because she'll come over here. Her name is Roper.
Oh, she heard you. You can't even whisper it.
I'm pretty sure she's laying like right under my feet. Right, she's looking right at me.
She turned her head sideways.
Right. Yeah.
She's about to jump up and bite your dick.
Yep. She's like, what's up, what's up, what's up? She, way more energy than Pearl, God rest her soul.
Yeah, I think the last time we recorded, Pearl had just passed.
Yes.
Like, recently.
So I think so.
That was, what, early May? That was, like, first couple weeks of May?
I got my, my River Rock brick is all inscribed and on the River Walk. If you guys are ever near MacDill Park, it's on the north side of MacDill Park on the River Walk. Right by the nice. Pirate Taxi stop. So, if all three of you who are listening, next time you're in Tampa, check it out.
Right. Sure. Yeah, we had, and then like a month after we recorded, Tessie passed.
So yeah, that's right.
Awesome. It was a rough summer for us and our friends and their pets.
And for the whole BDSM show.
we both lost a dog, and Nikki lost both dogs in the span of like 6 months.
Yep, that was crazy.
And like Samson was just like out of the blue. Oh, hey, I'm sick. I don't feel good.
And then now she got a new pug.
Yeah.
Dudley, does that sound right?
Yeah, Dudley, I think.
It's adorable.
Little sister lost a dog, and Eli's dog came down with leukemia.
Oh, that's right.
And his bubble he was a fighter, though, man.
Yeah, he put up a good fight.
He lived, what, like 6, 7, 8 months after the diagnosis? So.
Yeah, I think he treated him with that CDB oil.
Yeah.
Which I probably should have done for Pearl as opposed to the narcotics, but whatever. The doctor didn't exactly recommend it, and I wasn't really thinking, you know what I mean?
Right.
And
yeah, so it was a tough year.
You want to talk a little bit about, I just want to mention a few movies, and you tell me if you've seen them or not.
Okay.
I know you saw Into the Spider-Verse.
Of course, it was amazing.
Best Spider-Man movie ever made.
I could get on board with that. One best animated picture.
Yeah, it did. It beat out Wreck-It Ralph and what was the other big one?
Don't remember.
And
that's how good it was.
Yeah.
The curious note there is that's the first time that Disney's had a nominee in the best animated picture category and not won since 2006.
Really?
The only other time they didn't win best animated picture, they didn't have a nominee. That was 2011.
Good for Sony. That's huge for Sony.
Yeah.
That's huge for Marvel. It was an all-star cast, though. If you think about, like, the Into the Spider-Verse had Chris Pine, Jake Johnson,
Nick Cage,
Catherine Hahn, Liev Schreiber.
Yeah.
Who else was in that one?
I'm drawing blanks.
But it was star-studded. And it was fantastic. Like, the whole filter, the whole feel of the whole thing was very comic booky, and it was very self-aware, which was kind of fun.
Right.
I did enjoy that.
How each Spider-Man was like, oh, let's just blow through this. Oh, I got bit by a spider, blah, blah, blah. You know this, blah, blah, blah. Great powers, great responsibilities, blah, blah, blah. Okay, now we're ready.
And the nice thing about the Spider-Verse is, now they can go any way they want with any villains, and they can mix up Spider-Man, and it'll be great.
Yeah,
so I'm totally looking forward to the future incarnations of the Spider-Verse. And you know they're going to do it. I mean, hell, they won an Oscar with the damn thing.
Right, and hopefully Sony doesn't fuck it up going forward, because Sony is Sony. They got it right this time.
The music was good. The casting, everything was great. All right, so how about Bohemian Rhapsody?
Haven't seen it yet. If I'm being honest, didn't really stoke the fire in me, so to speak.
It's great, dude. What's the kid's name? Rami Malek?
whatever. He's come a long way since being the candy bars. Was he the candy bar? No, he wasn't the candy bars kid, was he? In Super Troopers?
No, he couldn't have been.
He was in something else where he's really fucking goofy.
He was Night at the Museum. But I know he was one of, he was Kamen Ra on Night at the Museum.
Right. I'm trying to think of what else he was in. But I've heard mixed reviews on the movie itself, but I've heard nothing but great things about his role in it. I haven't heard one person say anything bad about his role. He was like 100% into it, and
you know, I don't know a ton about Queen. I mean, I knew, you know, the songs and, you know, the anthems and all of those things, and I knew what Freddie Mercury looked like.
Right.
But then when you kind of go back and you see, like, the side-by-side pictures and stuff like that, it's incredible how they did it. So, hats off to that kid. He did a great job.
Yeah.
Let's see. What about the Green Book?
Trying to pull up his IMDb.
Oh, okay.
He was in Mr. Robot.
I know he was Kamen Ra on the Ben Stiller movies.
Yeah. He was in Need for Speed, Old Boy. Well, maybe I'm confusing him with someone else. I could swear he was somewhat goofy in one of them comedies like that. But
yeah, right. He's got that SNL feel to him. That's for sure.
He does. Speaking of SNL, can I just say this? I was talking to Heather about this earlier. I don't fucking understand. Pete Davidson is banging Kate Beckinsale now.
Yeah, that kid's like, got it worked out.
He was engaged to the queen of the pop world who's worth millions, is smoking hot, and now he's gone from that to milf-ass Kate Beckinsale. With, you and I have joked that given the hot factor of our wives, we're living, breathing examples. If you can make a girl laugh, you can. You've got a shot.
Yeah.
Pete Davidson is a living, breathing embodiment of that.
Like legendary level.
Mantra.
Like 100. Charisma 100.
He looks like a fucking AIDS patient. And he's banging Kate Beckinsale. That's his rebound from Ariana Grande. I mean, come on. Well, I don't get it. I don't understand. I mean, he must be the funniest motherfucker alive in person.
He has
that
to be.
He's slinging a baby arm.
Probably both. That's really, you know, that's got to be like the epitome of the, you know, the apex of it.
I don't know.
Is he's got it? He's got.
I just don't. I don't get
big
it.
Big sloppy hog. And he's really funny.
I'm blown away by it. I don't understand. I don't understand. It has to be because he's a tall dude, I think. You know, tall, yeah. Lanky, and those are typically the type that are flinging around baby arms. But
didn't he get in trouble for like some jokes or something that he did on, or was he like suicidal? Was that the same kid?
It was both. He made fun of the one-eyed soldier who was running for office in Tennessee. Texas. Crenshaw made fun of him, said he looked like a fucking pirate or something like that, and moved on. And that dude took the high road, and then I guess he went on SNL and made fun of Pete Davidson. All was forgiven. And and then he made posts like he was suicidal or something on Instagram after Ariana Grande dumped him. I don't know. It was all very strange. He's a very strange person.
And now he's making out with Kate Beckinsale at a hockey game.
Yeah, now he's hitting Kate Beckinsale. Like,
good for him.
I mean, I feel like I have a shot with anybody.
I mean, I feel like I gotta be close to as funny as Pete Davidson. I never met Lorne Michaels.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's it.
That's the difference.
We just haven't been given a shot.
Right. I mean, maybe we can host SNL.
Yeah, and then we can say Ariana Grande.
Then followed up with Kate Beckinsale. Yep.
Yeah, honestly, who's next? Next, he's going to be banging Taylor Swift or something.
Megan Fox.
Just doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
Oh, he's dating Rihanna. That's interesting.
Yeah, well, we know who's the butch in that situation.
All right. Pay me what you owe me.
Right?
Have you seen...
But anyway, so that Rami Malek.
Yeah. Yeah, Bohemian Rhapsody is worth, it's worth the watch.
I may give it. I'm not really huge on the music biopics, if I'm being perfectly honest.
Dude, did you see...
I don't know. Maybe because I just was never really into Queen.
Straight Outta Compton?
Like that.
All Eyes on
Straight
Me.
Straight Outta Compton was fantastic.
See, that's a music biopic.
I don't think
biopic.
I saw All Eyes on Me.
It was great.
It is, but I think it was... I had more of an interest in the band, in the group. Like Queen just doesn't... Queen is cool, they've got their hits, but it's nothing where I'm ever like, oh man, I gotta go pop Queen on the iPod.
Like my Queen Pandora going.
Yeah, no. They've got their hits. I'm not saying they're not a great band, but past We Will Rock You and We Are the Champions and Bohemian Rhapsody, what else is there?
I don't know.
None of their other music does it for me.
How about Green Book? Did you watch Green Book?
I have not seen Green Book, but I've heard that was like the major head scratcher at the Oscars that won.
Viggo Mortensen.
Spike Lee tried to walk out.
Did he really? Oh, because of the Huntsman, yeah. the Klansman or something like that?
Yeah, the Black Klansman. I think he was certain he was going to win because he won another Oscar. It was his first competitive Oscar, I guess, that he had won.
Bro, I haven't seen the Black Klansman. I probably should watch it, but I have my doubts that it would be better than the Green Book.
I mean, it looked pretty good. I guess there was controversy with the Green Book that some of it was like heavily exaggerated.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
Know, for the sake of Hollywood, and some of the people that actually lived it were pissed off. And, you know, it is what it is, but...
I mean... There has to be some dramatization of the... Otherwise, it would be boring. Who wants to see two dudes drive around in a car for 3 months?
Right. Well, Black Klansman was, allegedly based on a true story, too. So, I mean, if we're going historical pieces, give me Adam Driver and... Who was the dude in that one? The black dude in that one? Was it... I think it was...
Which one?
Samuel L. Jackson's kid, wasn't it? And Black Klansman...
I didn't see it.
Or not Samuel L. Jackson. Denzel. I think it was Denzel's kid.
That does sound right. No, maybe I'll go watch it now.
Yeah.
Viggo Mortensen was up for Best Actor and lost to Malik or whatever
his name.
Rami Malek, yeah. And
Malachi.
Viggo plays an Italian, and it's like hard to believe the range on this guy because you see him in Lord of the Rings... And then you see him in Green Book, and it's like it's a totally different dude. You know, like Ryan Reynolds plays the same guy in every movie, and Owen Wilson plays the same guy in every movie. Dude,
sure.
Viggo went from Aragorn. Yeah, wow. Jen told me I have a really good Owen Wilson impression.
Wow.
So it's totally worth that one's also worth the watch. I got two more I want to ask you about. Actually, one more movie and then one show. Creed 2.
Okay, maybe both swings and a miss. Creed 2, I'm picking up on Wednesday. We're watching it Wednesday night.
Okay.
Haven't seen it yet.
You know, no spoilers. I want you all to wait on that one then. I mean, you pretty much know how it's going to go down.
I assume it's going to go down like the Black Rocky 4. I mean, let's be honest.
It's like
Creed,
a mix.
Creed was a great movie, and I'm not taking anything away from Creed. I loved Creed. I thought it was a great movie. Michael B. Jordan is a fantastic
Black
actor.
Rocky 4.
But let's be real. Creed was Black Rocky.
Yeah.
I mean, down to a T.
Yeah. I mean,
he got in a fight with his girl. He fought in the underground, got a shot at the title. Or not at the title. He got a shot at the champion. But they weren't going to give it to him unless he got the knockout. So he goes the distance. And, of course, they give the decision to the champion. But everybody's like, oh man, this kid's for real. So I assume, you know, Rocky IV, it's I'm assuming Creed II is similar because he's fighting. I know he fights Drago's kid.
Yeah.
And you and I had a long talk about the plots of these movies going forward.
Time traveling and all kinds of shit.
I feel like going to these guys' kids, it's cheap, it's too easy. Yeah. I'm going to watch it. I'm sure I'm going to enjoy it. It just feels like it's an easy cop-out. Like, Stallone is just not... There's no more... The originality's been beaten out of his head, apparently.
The next movie, they're already talking about Creed 3, and they're already talking about doing Clubber Lang's son. I'm like, no. Right.
Yeah, no. Why not have Hogan's kid in there, too?
Hot Lips. What was his name? Thunder Lips?
Something like that, yeah. And then... Here's the thing, though. Hogan's kid is not a wrestler. He's MMA. So now you've got the Floyd Mayweather Conor McGregor situation. Except Creed's got stones, so he's like, "Fuck it, I'll get in the octagon." And then he loses, and that's his fall from grace. And then he's fighting underground fights against I think we came up with Holyfield and Tyson.
Uh huh.
Is that what it was? And then when he's gonna lose, George Foreman comes through and. Sucker punches them both and 10 counts them both.
Yeah.
So, fantastic.
Off the top ropes. Yeah.
Listen, there you go. That's Creed 3, 4, and 5 right there.
You're welcome. What is it? Who does the... MGM does those movies. You're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome. Cut me a check. $100,000. I'll give you all three scripts.
I'd settle for $65. And a trip to the movie set with the food pass.
Right, and then just give me a copy of the 4K when it comes out on disc.
And my wife is going to have to meet Michael B. Jordan.
Digital. Absolutely.
Like, meet him, if you know what I mean.
Meet him.
M-E-A-T. There's a TV show on that Jen and I are watching. That's what she's been... anxious to watch after the podcast is over. The Escape at Dannemora Prison, which is on Amazon Prime, and it's 10 episodes. It stars Benicio del Toro and Patricia Arquette, and is being the executive producer and directed by Ben Stiller.
Nice.
But it's a full-on drama.
Nice.
Very
good. I have not heard of it.
Based on the true story, these two guys break out of prison, and it's the whole story of the woman they dupe, which is Patricia Arquette's character, into helping them, and how they dupe the guards, and this whole thing.
Interesting. We're watching Jack Ryan on Amazon.
I want to see that.
I think we're halfway through that season. It's been pretty good so far.
John Krasinski.
Seeing Jim's development as a character.
Jim, he'll always be Jim, along, right?
Right. He's come a long way from The Office.
Big Tuna.
So, yeah, he's doing action and all kinds of stuff. He's nice. Fighting dudes hand to hand. It's been pretty good so far. I think we're like 5 episodes in.
Nice. I'll have to check that out.
So, yeah. Yeah, it's a pretty good series.
All right, so that kind of covers all of my intro stuff. I got the movies. Do you want to talk a little bit about sports? We got some, just we can do like a rundown. We don't have to go like too far into depth until we.
Yeah, man. I mean, we've had.
I'm going to let you take the reins on this one.
We've had almost a full calendar year since we last recorded. In fact, the last time we recorded, the Lightning, I believe, were still playing the Capitals. Or they were getting ready to play the Capitals. The Capitals were on the radar. Because I remember us talking about, you know, what happens. Oh, if the Lightning lose, hopefully, you know, Ovechkin goes on to get his cup. Well, the Lightning lost. And Ovechkin went on to get his cup. So, I think most, at least casual, regular hockey fans were okay with it. Because, dude, Ovechkin has been in the league for, like, 13 years, I think, at that point, 14 years at that point. and had never even got to the Cup Finals. He'd come up short a couple times in the playoffs. But he was like a fucking kid in a candy store. Like, I think he kept the Cup for like the first month after they won it. And you know, like during the off season, everybody gets their turn with the Cup and they bring it to their hometown and all that stuff. I don't think he let go of the Cup for like the first week. I don't think he took his hand off it once.
Love it.
And then he had it, I think he had it for like the first month. You know, he took it to this city and that city to this bar and that bar, slept with it, you know, all kinds of stuff. So as a hockey fan who's watched the dude for 15 years, like it was cool to see him finally get his. Because he's not, you know, he's not a hateable player. He's a likable player. He's out there having fun playing the game. He's been a high volume goal scorer. He's been the arch rival, if you will, of Sidney Crosby. The fact that they could take down the Penguins on the way to doing it was even better. But it was good. I mean, if the Lightning had to lose, at least it was so that Ovechkin could get his Cup. Because I think everybody outside of Tampa probably was excited for that, to see him get that shot, and they did. And the other feel-good story out of that was, you know, the Las Vegas Golden Knights in their first season making a run all the way to Stanley Cup Finals, like completely unprecedented. That doesn't happen. The first year as an expansion team, you're supposed to be god-awful. And they made, you know, more waves in their first season than the Rays have in 20 years.
And you know, the Lightning have a good look at it this year, so.
Yeah, I mean, right now the Lightning are the best team in the league.
Possibly the best team in history.
I mean, they're well-equipped. They're top to bottom. They don't have any holes. They don't have any real holes. Their defense is good. Their offense is amazing. Kucherov is incredible. Vasilevsky and Net is just ridiculous. He already owns the franchise record for shutouts, and he's only been the starting goalie for what, like two seasons? So, I mean, he's kind of ridiculous. Vasilevsky's a monster. So, I mean, you can't really ask for more when you trade your all-star goalie Ben Bishop and just plug in the next guy, and he just happens to be one of the best goalies in the league.
Happens to also be an all-star goalie.
Right, right. So, I think they got a good shot this year, but you know, the funny thing about hockey is you get to the playoffs and it is
starts over.
It's a rugged road to get there.
Hockey playoffs are great.
There have been countless best teams in the league that have fallen, even in the first round. So, you know, they look poised to make that run again, and this may be the year. And then, you know, you're going to have a couple guys start hitting bigger contracts, and you know, you've got to break things down a little bit to get into the cap and all that. So this is probably their best look at it. You know, they'll have a good shot at it again next year too, but I think this is the year they want to make that run. So they got a pretty good squad. I think they'll do it, but you know, I thought they were going to do it last year too. And then they lost to the Capitals. So post NHL, going right along the chronological order, Golden State won again. Surprise, surprise. I believe we said before the season it would be Golden State playing Cleveland. And shockingly, Golden State played Cleveland, ran them out of the building, and chased LeBron to L.A. He didn't want to be in Cleveland anymore.
Yep. If he's going to lose, he wants to lose way earlier in the playoffs, I think.
Right, right.
So, and now he's not doing anything in Los Angeles.
This year will probably be the year he breaks his streak. He's been to the finals like eight straight years between Miami and Cleveland. So I think he's going to lose that streak this year.
Yeah, they're not doing much. You know, and he's gives his teammates a hard time about like things like not playing defense. And then he's like just jig-jogging around the court. And it's like, come on, man.
Yeah, when I saw a piece, somebody called him out for it. Like, you can't throw your young teammates under the bus for not playing defense and then half-ass it up the court.
Just take, like, one little step at a guy who's driving the lane. Yeah.
Right. Right. So, going forward this year, it's probably going to be Golden State again. because they lost JaVale McGee, oh no, and added fucking DeMarcus Cousins, who's one of the best big men in the league, who was coming off, I think, a torn ACL or, you know, dislocated kneecap or something. I don't remember what he did last year. It involved his knee. But when he's at 100%, they're just fucking ridiculous. As long as they've got Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, it doesn't matter what anybody else does. It really doesn't. And then you add DeMarcus Cousins. What do you... If you decide you want to stop all those three on the perimeter, not, you know, to mention that all three of them can get to the rack at any given time, but say you shut them out to the perimeter. Okay, now you've got DeMarcus Cousins one-on-one with whoever you got down low, and it's probably not enough. So... You know,
like, expect to see more Golden State.
Right. It's going to be, what, 4 out of 5 years now? So they'll get their three-peat, blah, blah, blah. The one takeaway for the season, aside from that, is Dwayne Wade is retiring after this year. So he's had his grand retirement tour. He actually beat Golden State last week with a ridiculous three-pointer at the buzzer. So
nice.
My dude still got it. But, yeah, it's going to be weird seeing the NBA with no Wade. I don't know how much I'm really going to tune in. I don't really tune in much now anyway, but...
Nobody does. You're not the only one.
Right. So, well, you know, I'll watch come playoffs and tune in for the finals for the Warriors to win in 4 games. So, moving along again, the chronological timeline, we get to the Major League Baseball. Where the Rays, they made a strong run. We kind of lambasted them at the beginning of the season, you know, for trading names away and all that stuff. And it worked out. Their minor league guys came up and played pretty well. They did some different things with the pitching staff, the whole opener thing. Instead of, you know, you've got starters and then you work your way to the closer, they had every few days a dedicated opener. And they knew it was a bullpen day. This guy opened through 2 or 3 innings, and then they just kind of pieced it together down the stretch.
Yep.
It was kind of unique, different, absurd, crazy, whatever you want to call it, but it worked. I mean, they had 90 wins. Had they not been playing in the division with the Red Sox and Yankees, they probably would have made the playoffs. I mean, they would have won the Central outright. The Indians made the playoffs, I think, with 89 wins. So, I mean, the Indians got, you know, beat, I think they got swept in the first round. So, you know, that was kind of fitting. But, yeah, the Rays kind of, like, just unexpectedly stuck around all year and weren't really eliminated until the last week of the season. But, you know, they had 200-win teams in their division. As top-heavy as the AL was, the two top teams... Well, two of the top three teams were in their division with them. But it was a good run, so they've got expectations this year. Let's see how they do with that. More importantly, the Red Sox won 108 games, which was a club record. They beat the Yankees, I think, 17-1 or some shit like that in game 3 at Yankee Stadium. It was pretty goddamn fantastic. Let me tell you this, as a Red Sox fan. Aaron Judge... Right. They win game 2 in Boston. Aaron Judge is feeling himself and he's playing New York, walking past the Red Sox clubhouse. They got their shit stomped when they went back to New York. Shit stomped. 17-1 was one of the greatest games I've ever watched because it was just on repeat. Like they legitimately could not do anything. And it happened in their own house. And Brock Holt was became the only player in postseason history to hit for the cycle, which I find incredible that that's never happened before. But it was fun. And then, you know, the Astros, that was a great series. David Price found his postseason nutsack. Like, at some point, just said, you know what? Fuck this. I got this. If he didn't, they don't win. Plain and simple. But he did. And then game 3 of the World Series in L.A., 18 innings, ended at 3:30 in the morning. The only thing that really got me about the game, not that we lost, I stayed up until the top of the 18th. I fell asleep in the top of the 18th at fucking 3:05 in the morning and missed the end of the game. Like, I stayed up all that goddamn time only to fall asleep in the top half of the final inning. But Nate Eovaldi earned himself a spot in Boston lore. Dude threw 6 innings because there was nobody left. And he's in the 18th inning throwing 100 miles an hour still. Some people say he's still out there throwing 100 miles an hour in L.A. to this day. It was incredible. Funny. And, you know, for his efforts, he got a, you know, 4-year deal for like $17.5 million a year. So it worked out all right for him. But, yeah, it was a fun season to watch the team. They blew it on day one against the Rays and then won 9 straight and then lost again and then won 8 straight. And so at that point they were 17-2 and they never really looked back. I mean, they were at 100 wins, I think, like early September. They were just kind of coasting. But it was fun. It was a team that never really got down. You never felt like they were out. Mookie Betts, MVP, was incredible. That dude's going to get paid. He just made $20 million in arbitration. He's still got 2 more arbitration years before he's a free agent, I think. That's ridiculous. That dumb contract that Philly just gave Bryce Harper. Mike Trout and Mookie Betts come up in the next couple years for free agency. They're going to blow that out of the water. And the difference is, they're actually good players. So, that was a fun season. I feel like it'll be hard to top that this season. But anything's gravy, man. You know, like I've said before, I've been fortunate enough to see my team win 4 World Series when my grandfather almost went his entire life before he even saw one. So, anything at this point, anything's gravy. Going forward from there into college football season, I think we finally found Nick Saban's kryptonite. It's fucking Dabo Swinney.
Oh, yeah.
In Clemson. Dude, they took Bama to the woodshed. Who takes Bama to the woodshed?
Yeah.
Nobody. And goddamn it, was it glorious to watch. Especially, like, part of the way through the second quarter, I think it was, Bama was driving and they had a time of possession in their favor. And the TV announcers are going, well, Clemson really needs to get a stop here because the time of possession is really working in Alabama's favor. And it feels like it's getting away from them. Mind you, Clemson was up at this point. But Clemson gets a turnover, goes back the other way, and never looked back. The second half, they just dominated them. And when have we seen that happen to Nick Saban and Bama? We haven't. Not since his first season. And you know what? Frankly, I'm here for it. I don't care if Clemson is the next dynasty. As long as it's not fucking Nick Saban, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm ready for that change. I really am. Speaking of college football, McNeese State did USF a favor.
Sure did. Joke's on you guys now.
I don't know what they were looking at, but they hired our shitty, terrible, awful offensive coordinator, Sterling Gilbert, to be their head coach. So, look back at 2013. They got us here.
Yep.
Real good in Tampa.
What was the score on that game? 56-something?
Yeah, 56-23, something like that.
Yeah.
It stung. It was real bad. But you know what? We were playing the long con. We bounced back, got a good coach. Got another good coach to follow him up. Well, we thought was a good coach. I'm still not sold on Charlie Strong. But he brought his offensive coordinator along, and they thought, that guy looked pretty good with Quentin Flowers running his offense. Man, they were really good. We should hire him as our head coach. Joke's on you fuckers. He's your problem now.
He sucks. And he's bad.
Yeah. I see what you did there. Sloppy donkey dick.
We picked up Kerwin Bell.
Yes.
That's a great just get. Won
the national title with Valdosta.
So, and he was a Gator back in the day. He played in the NFL. He's been promised complete offensive control.
Right. And his team that he just won the national title with at the D2 level averaged like 50 points a game.
He apparently is known for, now this is going to sound crazy, for designing the offense around the players that he has available. What?
Well, listen, that can't be, because Sterling Gilbert has convinced me that you should force fit your players into a terrible scheme.
I mean, Jesus.
Because why would you would you build a scheme similar to what Quentin Flowers put up over 4,000 yards and over 40 touchdowns in? No, you should force fit him into some bullshit that didn't even work at Texas. No, you're right. That can't be. There's no way Kerwin Bell would adjust the scheme to his players. That can't be.
So Kerwin Bell's thing is, let's go get the best athletes, the best football players we can find, and then we'll make the offense work for them.
Yeah, because this year they had, you know, a spread, up-tempo attack where they were throwing the ball all over the place, and 2 or 3 years ago it was a spread run attack.
And, dude, Charlie let 11 guys go and, like, six coaches, something like that?
There were four coaches, I think, four or five that weren't coming back. Two of those were Sterling Gilbert, and he took the online coach with him.
Yeah.
Mike Maddox can go suck a dick, too. And then there was two defensive coaches, I think.
And then but was it 11 players?
Some of the players were, you know, left with an open door that they could work their way back in. I think I read where one or two of them already have might be back with the team.
Solomon's hopefully one
the big one that's the big one that's still floating out there that I don't think has found a new school yet is Darnell Solomon, who's in the transfer portal.
Yeah, I like
but
that guy.
I don't think he's gone anywhere yet, so I'm hopeful that he'll come back because he's got a lot of talent. He was on the verge of a breakout last season before everything fell apart.
And then the other big news is Mitchell Wilcox has decided not to declare for the draft.
Right, which is big. I mean, I think he probably would have been like, I don't know,
fifth or sixth rounder.
Like a fifth round pick. He's got the potential this year. If Kerwin Bell gets the offense going and Wilcox is a big part of it, which I assume he will be, I think he could be a third or fourth rounder.
Yeah, if he goes off this year.
I was reading stuff during this past season where reading previews, you know, from writers on The Athletic who were, you know, they do those weekly prospects, NFL prospects to watch for this week, you know, in this region. And Mitchell Wilcox was actually highlighted a few times as a guy who had a chance to go to the NFL and make some noise. And that was before he came back for his senior year. So you would think, as long as the offense is moving, he's got a shot at being a high-level draft pick for a tight end. And, I mean, we've seen it. He's got the physical ability. He's got the hands. So... Yep.
He's definitely gotten better from when he, you know, first started. He was a pass dropper and a fumbler, and he's definitely getting better.
Yeah, absolutely. Dude's got some sweet hands.
And we'd be remiss if we didn't mention Robert Kraft.
At the Jack Shack?
Yeah, he is worth $6.6 billion. Got hemmed up on a human sex trafficking sting. As a John at a Jack Shack down in Fort Lauderdale. So, that's a little silly,
absolutely.
I think, personally.
And the crazy thing is, they said he was there, like, hours before the Pats were playing the Chiefs in the AFC Championship. He was nervous, okay? His nerves were getting to him.
I just don't...
He needed a handy.
If you're a billionaire... Just go where it's legal. Right?
I mean, you would think, but maybe it's the thrill of it. Maybe he needs the thrill of doing it, you know,
showing up.
You're not supposed to.
To a massage parlor for a rub and tug. Jeez. $80.
Right.
You know, just throws like a hundo down on the counter and he's like, you know what to do.
Yeah. Crazy. And then, you know, he got busted on that, and that got announced. That only got announced recently. But apparently he had been there before the AFC Championship game, which the Pats won in overtime, I believe overtime, and then went on to win the most boring Super Bowl anybody our age has ever seen.
And then mouth kissed Tom Brady.
Like, ever. Yeah, mouth kissed Tom Brady. That, you know what? The most surprising thing to me about the Jack Shack thing is that he needed any more action than he was getting from Brady.
Yep, that was great.
I thought Brady was a side piece.
I remember watching the thing at the end. I was like, why is he talking? I was like, I don't understand what... He's kissing his face.
Yeah. That's
so weird.
And like, listen. People make a thing about David Beckham mouth kissing his kids. Right? But they're his kids. I don't know how old they are. Maybe it's weird. Maybe they're 16. I don't know. Maybe it's weird. Brady, they made a thing about Brady mouth kissing his kids. And Belichick mouth kissing his kids. Mouth kissing your kids is one thing. Every family's different. You don't have to make a perverse thing out of it. You know, like, if that's just how you guys show your affection, whatever.
So be it.
I'm not here to judge you for mouth-kissing your 19-year-old son. Do what you do. Your family, Italians all kiss each other on the cheek everywhere they go.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Everybody's got their own way of greeting family, all that stuff. He was mouth-kissing his owner. Not his son or daughter or whoever. Not his wife. Not his brother, not his sister, not his mom or dad. His owner. Owner. Smack on the mouth. Listen. I'm not against gay people. You do your thing. Do what you want. It just struck me as bizarre that this straight man married to a famous, ridiculously rich supermodel is mouth-kissing another straight man who's dating this hot 30-something-year-old actress. I just found it weird. That's all. And seeing that, I didn't think that Mr. Kraft needed to get any more action on the side. I thought he was getting enough from Brady. You know?
Yeah.
I thought the way they were kissing, I thought Brady was his side piece.
Let's see what else we got. And no Ray Stadium anywhere.
Yes.
Yeah, MLB shutdown. Yeah, they were like, nope, there's not enough money coming in. You guys don't have any, like, rock solid financing options. You know, the Rays said they would put up half of it, and then they were able to scrounge up another, like, $200 million, and they were still, like, $400 million short or something.
Right. And they were initially claiming they were going to have these revenue streams. But they never gave the commissioner's office, like, anything concrete.
Like, real figures.
Right. And they were just like, well, we're not going to go in on this. This is not workable. You've got to figure out something better.
So now St. Pete
kudos to them.
Is left Listen, holding the bag.
The biggest thing I don't want is for the city of Tampa to get bent over to pay for a stadium that the ownership's not all in on.
Yeah.
They're not all in on the team. They're not. And you and I said it from the start when they announced, oh, this is going to be a $900 million stadium. Oh, well, we're going to put up $400 million. No, you're not.
Yeah.
The city is not going to pay for over half of that stadium.
Nope.
If you came to the city and said, hey, we need the last $200 million, okay.
We'll figure that out. They would probably say, like, okay. Listen, we'll do the last $200 million, but it's going to be an infrastructure. You know, we'll pay for that part of it, you know?
Right.
And they were ready to vacate the land, and they were ready to add streetcar stops and a high-speed rail stop and all those things, but... So, anyway, so that's that. Any other sports?
So, I don't know that the book is closed on that necessarily, but they'll have to come up with a better way.
They'll have to wait the 7 years or whatever's left on their St. Pete lease before they can pitch another, and then they'll have to beat out, you know, like some really legit offers from, like, Las Vegas and Charlotte and Vancouver. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, apparently some idea was floated that they could play half their games in Tampa and half their games in Montreal. Like, that's like dumb. A slap in the face to both cities.
Yeah, snowbird bullshit.
Right. Fuck that.
That's it. Not Montreal, not Vancouver.
Really what we need is for Jeff Finnick to by the Rays and
by the whole team,
rescue them.
Yep, but apparently he has and too much pull with the mayor, right?
Laying downtown. Yeah, according to who's it, Stras?
David Stras, yeah.
Yeah, like listen, I'm going to tell you this right now. Jeff Finnick is fucking rich.
He's a saint,
right? He's bought all of downtown, and he's using his money. He's investing in the property to bring new business into town, which creates jobs, and not just jobs, but high-paying jobs.
Yep,
high-tech jobs. The kind of jobs that make this city a destination. That's how it works. I don't give a fuck what kind of pull he has with the mayor. They could be pulling each other off for all I care. He's using his wealth and his investment acumen to try to make Tampa a better city. Who gives a flying fuck? Don't care.
Yep.
And I'll tell you what, if he bought the Rays or somehow came up with a way to fund the stadium so that the Rays stay in Tampa Bay, build that man a 50-foot fucking golden statue.
Yep.
In downtown Tampa. Solid gold. Solid gold.
Go ahead and name that stadium Vinick Field or Vinick Yard.
Right. I mean, at this point, all I'm waiting for this guy to do is give USF a shitload of money and say, here, build your stadium. I mean, really, that's the only thing he hasn't done.
Turn water into wine.
That's pretty much it.
Yep.
So, Mr. Stras, you do what you do. Donate plenty of money to the city and all as well, but
I'm torn because
Vinick is God.
I want to vote for David Stras, but I don't want to if he's going to butt heads with Jeff Vinick.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Who's doing everything he can to make this city better.
Right. And, and David Stras is like a famous philanthropist. You know, he donates money all over the place here. He's got the Stras Center and all kinds of, you know, like dorms on all the colleges are named after him. So.
Right.
But then there's also the old chief of police that wants to come and get down. And she did a fine job as chief of police, so. I don't know how that translates into being a mayor. God damn it, we're going to miss Bob Buckhorn.
Right. Old Bob Buckhorn, the racist motherfucker on Twitter.
Oh, that's right. I forgot it got hacked.
Boy, that was something else. Did you see any of that?
Did I see anything? I took screenshots.
It's, oh my God, it was awful.
It's Adam was like, my buddy Adam, he's like, send it to me. I can't look it up at work. I was like, dude, I took some screenshots on my phone, so I texted to his phone, and he was like, this is amazing. It was like porn, listen, plus racism, plus, oh, it was awful.
Yeah. It for me to say out loud, holy shit, this is awful, it's got to be pretty bad. Because
yeah.
I can laugh a lot of shit off.
I know.
But it was awful. It was awful. So it was just crazy. And it was up like that for like 6 hours before they took it down. Like
way too long.
How the fuck?
And it was his account was verified. Which I'm surprised doesn't come with some kind of two-step authenticator once you go verified. You know what I mean?
Right. You would think. Yeah, they changed the name to Mayor Cuckhorn and
Cuckhorn, yep.
All kinds of other shit. It was incredible.
And words all over the place.
Yeah.
They even sent like a bomb threat to TIA on his Twitter.
Yeah. Said Russia was coming to bomb the city.
Yep.
All kinds of just wild shit. And then like taunting people with it. Like, oh, you know, I've got the account now and blah, 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 blah. And
what they tagged themselves like a bunch of idiots.
Yeah. So it was nuts. It was crazy.
It had 4chan written all over it, you know?
Yeah, of course. Those cheeky fellows.
So that's all I got. You got anything else you want
to... We had one more...
Oh, yeah, sorry.
One more segment we haven't done in some... I mean, granted, we haven't done the show in some time, but even within the context of doing the show, it's been a while. I had a workplace
gripes. Oh, workplace rant, yep.
And Yeah, I think you'll like this one. I mean, you'll find it amusing. I don't know how much you'll like it.
Also, we've got, as I described to her, Devin, the worst, like, day-to-day human being I've ever come across. Like, she's just obnoxious. She's the type that thinks everybody needs to hear every word that comes out of her mouth. Makes all kinds of just weird fucking noises. Like, loud enough to hear across the office. She laughs like an obnoxious nails on the chalkboard laugh. And all that's bad enough. I really don't like her. She's usually the type, if I put headphones on, it's because I'm trying to tune her out. So usually I'll walk in, it'll be 5 minutes, hear her. Okay, time to put the headphones on, it's music time. So I was working, I believe it was last Monday. Last Monday. I'm sitting at my desk, minding my own business. She comes across to talk to somebody like 5 feet away from me at a different desk, facing away from me, takes her right hand and places it on this person's desk, takes her left hand, firmly places it inside her pants.
Oh, boy.
Down the backside.
Oh, like yeah. A butt scratch.
Yeah. Straight in, not like adjusting the belt line, you know, the waistline, not adjusting her waist on her skirt, dress, pants, whatever the fuck it was. I don't even remember now. In, wholesale, in wholesale. Her pants.
Full send.
In, on the backside. So at this point, I said, I've had enough. I'm trying to eat my lunch. I'm not hungry anymore. I'm going to move over because I can't look at this anymore. Go to talk to somebody else. You know, blow off steam. So find out from other people. And I've been told that she does this before. I've just never witnessed it. The kicker is she apparently typically follows that up with the hand to the fucking nose.
Check and see if she has a stinky ass.
She, in an open office setting, not in the bathroom, not in the comfort of her vehicle.
Not like at her desk, like just a little...
Not at a closed office. In an open office setting, will reach her fucking hand down the back of her fucking pants and bring it out and bring it to her fucking nose to catch a whiff. What the fuck? Who does that?
Now, let me ask you this. Does she do, like, the nose scratch, like, nose rub? Or does she, like, full-on Molly Shannon, like...
I have not personally witnessed the scratch and sniff. But...
I do it sometimes on my nuts, but, like, not, like, not in the lobby. Yeah.
Not, like, right at somebody's desk in their face.
No, I wouldn't do that.
But no, she's not done, like, the nose rub, like, be discreet about it. She, like, from what I've been told, brings it up and, like, sniffs her fingertip. Listen. I've got a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old at home that love to just have their hands in their pants.
Yep, both of mine do.
That's because comfort, whatever.
They dig around their ass.
My 6-year-old and my 4-year-old know when we're in public... Keep your hands out of your pants. That's not where they go. First of all, it's unhygienic. Second of all, no one wants to look at another human being digging in their ass. She is doing this in an open office setting. So her nickname is Scratch and Sniff, which I've recently found out. Because she's got the tendency. Scratch, scratch, scratch. Oh, I wonder what that smells like.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Refreshing. It bothered me to the point I had to walk away and sit at a different desk next to somebody else and kill time. Like, hey, how was the weekend? I'm just going to sit here and talk to you because I don't want to see her digging in her ass anymore.
So, my office has some polite shitters. Do you guys have like more than one toilet in your bathroom?
No, we have separate bathrooms. We got like 5 bathrooms down the hallway, and they're all single occupancy.
So mine has two urinals and 2 stalls, right? There's, okay. I want to say, at least 2 guys that as soon as the door opens, if they're shitting, they flush. Like, as soon as you walk in, it's like, whoosh.
And so then, you like, don't get hit with the rat smell.
Yeah, I think they're just trying to be polite, and they're like, don't want you to have to smell their poo.
Right.
And then they're the ones that, like, as soon as a turd hits the water, they're flushing again. I'm like, so, you can be, if I'm doing, like, if I got a wrestling match going on, and I'm in there 5-6 minutes.
Right.
I could easily hear the toilet flush 3 times.
Nice.
I'm like, hey, man, I appreciate that.
Sure. I see, personally, I can appreciate a good stinky poop of my own.
I like to let it ride, yeah.
When you do it, and then you get hit with it, and you're like, oh, what the fuck was that?
Here's a pro tip if you're looking for an extra stinky turd. Go ahead and pile the toilet up with paper before you poop.
Oh, right.
So the turd's in the air.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Like a mountain of paper. And then put your turd in. And then feel bad for the maintenance guy.
Right.
Because he's going to have to deal with your turd. And don't do it at your office. Do it on another floor. Like, let's say you work in an office with more than one floor, and you share other floors with other companies, go to another floor and do it there.
Yeah, go in their bathroom.
Yeah. Go up.
So anyway, the moral of the story is, if you've got an itch, hands in the pants, be discreet.
Go to your car and scratch your nuts. You don't have to do it right at your desk.
I mean, just adjust yourself in the chair. Slide your ass 2 inches to the left. Might get the itch. Don't stick your hands in your pants. Not in public. I mean, it's not a thing. It shouldn't be a thing. And then, so she does that. She goes back. Not at any point does she ever fucking sanitize her hands. She didn't go back to her desk and squirt, sanitize, rub it till it's dry. None of that. She's walking around with her nasty ass hands, talking to people, scratching her face, doing all this stuff. Like, that's how people get pink eye, first of all. You go ass to face, pink eye. Hello. But then she goes to one of the people in my department. They're standing around by his desk. She's talking to a couple other people. She goes and puts her hand on that. So he wasn't in yet. He comes in. Before he did anything, I'm like, dude, Kyle, come here, stop, nope, don't do anything, come here, now, come here. So he comes over, he's like, what's up? I'm like, let's step in the hallway real quick, let me explain something to you right quick. So I explained the situation to him. I'm like, I stopped you before you did anything, because I want you to scrub your desk before you make the mistake of touching it. Because ass hands was all over it. Scratch and sniff was all about that. Please go back and scrub your fucking desk down. Scrub it good. And then when you're done, scrub it again. Because it's unsanitary. Frankly. I'm not like big germaphobe guy. But when you're talking about mixing your ass into the mix, the only person's ass I need like that is my wife's. Just saying.
I agree. Just saying.
And it would be one thing, like, I hate to say this because it's going to sound misogynistic. It'd be one thing if she was worth looking at. It would still be disgusting.
Yeah, but she shouldn't be sniffing her fucking ass.
It would be one thing if it was something worth looking at. It would still gross me out. But I'd be a lot more likely to forgive. But not even that. And she's just like, that's the thing that makes it worse. I already don't like her. I already can't stand being in the same room as her. And then she goes and does that. And I'm like, that's irredeemable.
It's yucky.
We've gone too far. We're past the point of no return. we can never be friendly coworkers. That can never happen, ever. Because I already hated you, and now you've scratched your ass right in front of me. Right in front of me. And then I've got people telling me that oftentimes you come to your face with it after that. No. No, 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 no. It's just wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry that got... We went off on a tangent.
Well, I mean, you got ass hands, so...
Yeah, I had to get it off my chest.
I mean, every once in a while I'll give my nose like the old... You know, after I'm scratching like my nuts or my armpit or something like that, just be like, how stinky is it? Is it like SeaWorld on a hot day, or is it like... Gold Bond? I just want to see...
But listen, it's one thing if you do it in private. And a lot of times I'll find I'm doing that. And then I'll go, you know what? I'm going to go wash my hands real quick.
Yep.
I don't do it in public. I'm not digging my hands in my pants in public, front or back. And sanitize something. Do something. Go in the bathroom and wash your hands with soap and water. Do something. You don't go scratch your hands, take it to your face, and then walk around the rest of the day like fucking nothing happened.
Like a caveman?
God, it's disgusting. Ugh. You disgust me.
Anything else?
I think that's it. I got.
So, we made it through our relaunch podcast.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, we used to end it with a joke, right?
Right.
Or a quote, a joke, jokes. Or a quote. We started with quotes and we went to jokes.
Rap quotes.
Yep. Billy and I have recently gotten into poetry.
We did.
We've been writing our own custom poetry. We've been sending it to each other. And we're making a collection. I probably have like 40 or 50 of these poems on my computer.
Where it started was I have a knack for writing poems about my darling wife's butt on Facebook. And then Devin was trying to get something from your wife, right?
Yeah, I was trying to...
Like, that's not flirting. God, write a poem or do this or something.
Yeah,
I was like, Devin...
That's not how she sounds.
You've got to write her a poem.
So...
And Devin tried his hand at it, and... It turns out we're both really good at poetry.
It worked. I was trying to solicit nudes. Well, not nudes. I mean, you know, she's a classy lady, but you know what I mean.
Hey, you can be classy and still send nudes, okay?
Yeah, that's true. That's true, especially your husband.
Right. It's not like you're sending crotch shots to everybody around.
To your boyfriend. Jeez, make him... Boy, he doesn't write you poetry.
Right. I mean, so, I've written her a few poems, but whatever.
Yeah, and they work. So I wrote a poem. I'm going to do this week's poem.
Okay.
And we'll start off easy on you guys, because some of them go from very innocent to really lewd.
Right. Like some you could write on Facebook and your family members would be like, oh, that's so sweet. And then some of these ones we come up with would make a porn star blush.
Yes. You should only scratch them on the wall of your jail cell. You know what I mean? Like, that's where some of them belong. Truck stop, urinal, wall.
Looking for a good time?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So this one is going to be PG. Let's just call it. It's probably PG. Maybe borderline PG-13.
Right.
Excuse me. Roses are red, and I'll tell you what. You really make my day with a pick of your butt.
Classy as fuck.
Pick as in picture, not pick like Billy's coworker.
God damn it. Scratch and sniff.
But generally, you're texting this to your significant other or the person you're courting.
Right.
And this does a few things. It takes the pressure off of saying, hey, let me see your boobs, to making it funny. And
hi, girl, they can, some of them titties.
They can do the LOL or the eye roll, and then you'll know that that's a no. Yeah, but you haven't put them on the spot by straight up asking. And if it's a yes, your inbox will be filled with boobs, and then you'll know it worked.
Who doesn't like that?
Then you'll know it worked. So it kind of works both ways, so taking the pressure off of soliciting those kind of things.
Sure.
So, good luck. And you guys are welcome to use those. We're probably going to try and collect about 100 of them and see about making a book.
Yeah, maybe a coffee table book.
Yeah, coffee table book, bathroom, you know, back of the shitter book.
Right. Maybe the roses pictured in the book will be like
secret penises and vaginas.
It'll start off as, you know, roses in the PG version.
Yep.
And then as we get exceedingly more lewd, maybe they're labia or something.
Labia. It's so gross we say that word.
Isn't it a funny word? It's a funny sound word.
It is.
We're so fucking juvenile.
The clitoris.
It always ends up back to potty talk.
Yep, it does. We already had poop talk, and now we have dick
private
talk.
Parts.
Yep. Well, thank you for listening. Thank you for sticking around. Thank you for not canceling your subscription.
But right.
Ones that pop back up. So hopefully, I don't know if we'll do it again next week or not. We'll see how it works out. But we'll shoot for like every other week or once a month or I don't know. We'll get another one out sooner than we did before.
I think we'll aim for like a minimum once a month, maybe.
Yeah.
And if we can get more than that, we'll go. It'd be gravy.
I mean, maybe we can. Maybe we'll have time to burn one out. Like, I could bring my laptop up to the hotel for Jason's wedding.
Oh boy, we could live cast.
Burn one in, face to face. Those are always fun. A little extra gig. They're a little extra giggly.
We'll do the play by play for the ceremony.
That'd be great.
We'll give you the hot mic up there by the altar, and I'll be in the back, recording on a full on microphone.
I'll be close.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be up there.
Yeah, can we give him play by play? Well, here's what the pastor's saying now. It's this ring
risky
and bodies.
Yep. So, oh, there's another Disney reference. So mark that down, everybody. Drink.
Yeah.
We'll have a Disney drinking game. Every time one of them mentions Disney, you gotta drink.
Of course.
All right,
that'll be fine. We'd be shit faced before the ceremony's over. Frankly.
Probably. Probably. Anytime there's a Disney decoration, drink. Well,
oh, fantastic.
Thank you for listening, and we appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming back. And we'll see you guys next time.
Okay, love you. Bye.